So the next talk is on hierarchical clustering via spreading metrics, and this work is from Orko Roy and Sebastian Pokuta, and the talk will be given by Orko.
Thank you very much for attending my presentation. The title of my talk is Hierarchical Clustering via Spreading Metrics, and this is joint work with Sebastian Pokuta at Georgia Tech. So before I begin, let me give a brief overview of what I'm going to be talking about. So I will be talking about hierarchical clustering, and in particular, I will be talking about a cost function for hierarchical clustering that was proposed by Sanjay Dasgupta in Stock 2016. So what is hierarchical clustering? Well, in the fundamental level, it is essentially a recursive partitioning of a data set into clusters of successively smaller size. As a motivating example, we have here the so-called phylogenetic tree of life, which subdivides all cellular organisms into finer categories based on their genetic similarities. So what are the advantages compared to traditional or flat clustering? The most obvious advantage is that one doesn't need to know the number of clusters beforehand. Furthermore, and perhaps more importantly, the output actually contains the cluster structure of our data set at all levels of granularity. So in particular, this contains strictly more information than the best possible flat clustering of our data set. A standard approach towards traditional or flat clustering is often what we do is we assign some kind of a cost function or objective function to every possible clustering of our data set. For example, some of the popular cost functions that we see often is the k-means or the k-medians cost function, and so on. What this does is really turns our clustering problem into an optimization problem, and we can use the rich tools from optimization theory to attack this problem of clustering, and so on. On the other hand, for hierarchical clustering, so far a lot of the algorithms that are used in practice are popular heuristics such as the linkage-based algorithms. For example, single linkage, average linkage, complete linkage, and so on. And what these heuristics usually do is they start off with every data point as a single cluster, and at every step, depending on the heuristic, we merge two clusters into a single cluster and repeat. The drawback of these algorithms and heuristics is that it is quite unclear what objective functions these are optimizing. So for example, it is not very clear how to compare the output of two different such heuristics in a meaningful and in a meaningful manner. And I also want to mention that there has been some work on trying to assign cost functions to hierarchical clusterings based on the k-means or k-median cost function to a pruning of our tree. However, a problem with this approach is that it does not take the entire tree structure into account. So let me formally define the problem setting that I will be presenting in this talk. So we are given a data set V, and we are given a pairwise similarity function kappa over this data set, which we assume is non-negative. And note that we do not make any assumptions about the data set coming from metric space or vector space or anything. And formally, a hierarchical clustering is defined as a tree with a designated root, which we denote by R, and with the property that the leaves of this tree is exactly our data set V. So the way to interpret this tree is every internal node actually represents a cluster of its descendant leaves. So for example, the root R actually represents the whole data set, and it represents the trivial clustering where we assign all the points to the same cluster. So here is the cost function that was actually proposed by Dasgupta. So for every hierarchical clustering T, we assign a cost, and it is this expression that I'm going to explain more in the next slide. And the goal is to find a tree of minimum cost. So lower the cost is better. So let us see what this cost function looks like. So here is an example of a hierarchical clustering of a data set. And the data set itself is represented by the square blocks. And the circles are the internal nodes, and so on. And at the top, we can see the root denoted by R. And for every pair of points, ij, in our data set, we denote by LCA of ij to be the least common ancestor of I and j in our tree. So as you can see in this example, we have these two square blocks, I and j, and the circular node, which represents their LCA. Furthermore, we denote by t square braces LCA to be the subtree rooted at the LCA. And finally, this expression on the right counts the number of leaves of this subtree rooted at the LCA. So in our example, we see for these choices of I and j, the number of leaves of the subtree rooted at the LCA is going to be 4. So what is this cost function doing? Well, what we do is we sum over all pairs of points in our data set, and we count the number of leaves at the subtree rooted at their LCA, and we weigh that by their similarity function. And that is essentially the cost function. Okay. And why does this make sense? Well, what is the intuition behind this somewhat complicated expression? Well, notice that every pair of our data points will eventually be separated by any hierarchical clustering at the leaves. And this is because the leaves of a clustering represent our individual data points. However, if kappa ij is large, in other words, I and j are very similar to each other, then in a good hierarchical clustering, we expect that I and j should be separated as far down the tree as possible. In other words, they should be separated as far away from the root and as close to the leaves, if we have a good hierarchical clustering. An equivalent way of saying this is that we want the number of leaves of the subtree rooted at their least common ancestor to be small. And if you look at the expression, that is exactly what we add to the cost for the pair ij. So we scale the number of leaves of the subtree rooted at the LCA by the similarity. And so our incentive is for high similarity pairs to minimize the number of leaves of the subtree rooted at the LCA. Okay. And the following properties were also shown about this cost function. Unfortunately, it is NP-hard to find the optimal hierarchical clustering. However, this cost function has some really nice properties on a lot of examples like line graphs, cliques, and planted partitions. Minimizing this cost function actually recovers the intuitively correct hierarchical clusterings that we expect. And finally, a top-down algorithm that uses sparsus cut as a subroutine was presented. And the author showed that it achieves an order log to the 1.5n approximation. So the algorithm is very simple. At every step, it computes the sparsus cut and then recurses on both sides. So now we take a brief detour from hierarchical clusterings into a somewhat dual notion of ultrametrics. So ultrametric D on a set is essentially a distance function on a set. And it satisfies the following three conditions. It is non-negative, like any distance function, and we want that the distance is zero if and only if the two points are the same. Secondly, we want it to be symmetric, that is, distance between x and y should be the same as distance between y and x. And finally, what makes it different from a regular metric is that we want it to satisfy a strong triangle inequality, which means that the length of a side in any triangle is at most the maximum of the length of the other two sides. And how does this relate to what we saw before about hierarchical clusterings and cost functions? Well, here is an observation. So if we have a hierarchical clustering T, then we can define a distance between our points in our data set. And we define the distance to be the number of leaves at the subtree rooted at the LCA minus a 1. And it turns out, and it's not too hard to verify, that this is actually an ultrametric on our data set. And as a natural question at this point is, what kind of ultrametrics can we get from hierarchical clusterings and this cost function? clearly, we cannot have arbitrary ultrametrics. For example, we could define the distance between distinct pairs of points to be 1 for every pair. And there is no tree corresponding to such an ultrametric. So the first condition says that for every subset of our data set, we should be able to find a pair of points that are spread apart, in some sense, which means that their distance between ij is at least the size of the set minus 1. So this kind of rules out these pathological ultrametrics where things kind of collapse together and so on. On the other hand, notice that we cannot have ultrametrics where the distances are too high either. For this is because the number of leaves in our data set is at most n, and so the distance is at most n minus 1. And the second condition is essentially the one that takes care of this. It says that if we look at an equivalence class of our data set under the relation that the distances are at most t, then the maximum distance within that equivalence class is at most the size of the equivalence class minus 1. So for example, if we take t to be some large number so that the whole data set becomes our equivalence class, then we see immediately that the max distance between any pairs of points in our data set is at most the size of our data set minus 1, which is what we expect. So it turns out that this, these two notions, this combinatorial notion of ultrametrics, is exactly the same as hierarchical clusterings with this cost function. And moreover, this bijection is algorithmic, and we can compute it efficiently. So given an ultrametric, one can efficiently compute the clustering corresponding to it. So what this ultrametric allows us to do is to be able to write the convex hull of all hierarchical clusterings using an integer program. So we have the variables, binary variables, xijt, which represent that the distance between ij is at least t. So it is 1 if the distance is at least t, and so on. And notice that the objective function, which is now a nice linear function, is actually the objective function for hierarchical clusterings that we saw before. But it is now a linear function. And the other two inequalities, the slightly bigger looking inequalities, exactly correspond to the two conditions that we saw before. And the strong triangle inequality now becomes a linear function, a linear triangle inequality in this case. So while an integer programming formulation is nice, it captures the convex hull of our clusterings, it still is hard to solve. And so a natural approach when faced with an integer program is to try to relax it to a convex program. And in this case, we study linear programming relaxation. So notice that we do not require the variables xijt to be binary anymore. We allow them to be continuous between the interval 0, 1. And notice that the inequalities in blue are exponentially many. However, one can still separate over them in polynomial time. So this LP is still solved in polynomial time. And once we have a linear program, a natural question is, can we find valid solutions for an integer program, which actually gives us hierarchical clusterings, which is what we are ultimately interested in. And to do this, we use the idea of sphere growing, which is has been used heavily in several graph partitioning problems like sparsest cut, balanced separator, minimum bisection, and so on. And the basic idea is shown in this picture. So here we have a small data set of 6 points, and we want to grow a sphere around the vertex A, which is shown in red. And the distances of the other vertices from A are shown in the picture. And if we want to grow a sphere of radius 1 at vertex A, then the edges in red are the vertices at distance 1. And so the ellipse that we see is exactly this sphere of radius 1. So the algorithmic idea is essentially to grow spheres around vertices and then keep recursing at every step. What I glossed over in the previous slide is what radius of the spheres should we grow. One can show that there is a choice of radii that one can choose so that the ultrametric that you get and the hierarchical clustering that you recover is of cost at most order log n times the cost of the optimal tree. And finally, in conclusion, in this talk, we saw this cost function for hierarchical clustering due to Dasgupta. And the really nice thing about this cost function is that it gives you a principled and a meaningful way of comparing different hierarchical clustering algorithms by comparing their outputs and evaluating them in a meaningful fashion. I also want to mention that this problem was also studied independently by Moses Charikar and Vagos Tsatsiafratis at Stanford, and this is to appear in SODA 2017. They also show an order log n approximation of the same linear programming relaxation that we saw using the divide and conquer approximation algorithms using spreading metrics paradigm of Even et al. And a result of Bartal. And they also relax it to a vector programming relaxation. So instead of the variables xijt, we now denote that by the norms of two unit vectors. And in that case, they show that it actually gives you a square root log n approximation. And finally, in terms of future directions, one possible future direction is, can we come up with other meaningful cost functions that allow us to evaluate different hierarchical clustering heuristics, and can we prove something nice about it? And yeah, so that is it. Thank you. On time?
Yeah. Okay. Questions?
Question.
Okay.
Have you seen any examples where the order flow gives you more or better organic clusters as compared to?
Can you please use the mic?
Yeah, so.
Can you repeat the question, please?
Yes, so the question was can you see some approaches or examples where this. Cost function gives you better or more organic clusters as compared to other heuristics. Is that correct? Yeah. So so I ran some tests. So the problem with the integer programming formulation is that it doesn't scale well to large data sets. But on small synthetic examples, I tried like different things like mixtures of Gaussians and subsampled smaller clusters. And there, I compared it to a few heuristics like single linkage, average linkage, and so on. And there we already know what the hidden label is, in some sense. And we compare what the best pruning of our tree is going to be. And there it seemed on a lot of examples, solving the integer program and even the linear program actually gives you quite nice clusters. The drawback of optimizing the true cost function is that it's, of course, hard to solve.